As teachers prepare for a new school year, they face a new challenge. It's called ChatGPT. We've been hearing a lot about it lately, but we wanted to know how teachers are preparing their lessons and assessments to ensure that Kiwi students are doing the work themselves. I'm joined now by Asia Kennedy from Western Springs College. She's a teacher in Auckland. Hi, Asia.
Hi.
Thank you for your time today. Some of our listeners won't have heard of ChatGPT yet. When did you hear about it?
It was sent out by one of my colleagues right at the end of term four, I think, in that last week.
Yeah.
And then obviously it was all over TikTok. So that's how I got most of the details.
Yeah. Can you explain it for people who aren't familiar with it?
So it's basically an AI conversation robot, I suppose. And what it's particularly good at is producing written work, depending on what you ask it for. And so it's been designed, I suppose, unlike other AI in the past, it's been designed to come across sounding really conversational and like a human, which is obviously a little bit problematic.
Yeah. Most of the AI we've come across so far, if you look closely, you can tell that it's a robot talking to you, right?
Yes, yeah. What this can do that's different is you can ask it to produce writing in the voice of a particular type of person. So, for instance, you can ask it to write an essay on a novel in the voice of a 15-year-old New Zealand girl, and it will use certain words and phrases that make it seem more realistic.
What was your response as a teacher, or your reaction?
Sort of excited, actually. I mean, I suppose there has been things that make it easier for students to kind of try and get around plagiarism checkers for a while. But this is the first one that can actually be used educationally. So, you know, I don't want to sort of tell everybody, but there's websites that will paraphrase an essay that's been taken from the internet. And obviously, we usually pick that up because it doesn't sound like the student who's writing. But that's not particularly useful educationally, whereas something really awesome that this can do is you can kind of give it complex ideas from, let's say, an academic article that you've got online, and you can ask it to explain those ideas to you more simply. You can ask it to take a really long text and turn it into bullet points. And I think that's quite important because it allows students to kind of scaffold big ideas. So it kind of brings it to a level that they get, and then they go, okay, now I know how to think about this thing. And then they can add those more complicated ideas on top. So, yeah, I was really interested in it because I thought I need to know how this works so that I can see if it's being used.
It sounds to me like it's not all negative from your point of view. Some of those things you're talking about sound like they'd be quite useful, not in cheating, but in learning.
Yeah, definitely. I think we need to get, as teachers, like in every subject, we need to get the hang of how it works so that we can kind of redirect student focus away from how can I use this to kind of do my work for me to how can I use this as like a building block for my work. And then I do all of the critical thinking and all of the, you know, the good stuff that we want them to be doing.
Yeah. Do you think you're going to have to change the way you assess students, if not this year, looking forward to 3, 5, 10 years?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's something that's going to require all schools to have lots of conversations because it will depend on the context that you're teaching in. Like, you know, not every school in New Zealand, the students have access to their own devices. So it's going to be about each school having a discussion about, okay, well, you know, how are we going to use it and how are we going to change our assessment so that it suits the students? I think, yeah, I mean, you know, obviously as an English teacher, I love a good essay, but it's not necessarily the only way that you can measure whether somebody is thinking. And it's not, you know, there's lots of ways that students can display mastery of ideas without necessarily being good at writing an essay. So I think, I mean, I hope that what we do is kind of use this as a push to do what we're kind of been leaning towards in assessment anyway, which is making it more open-ended, making it more student-focused, more project-based assessment, because something that the AI can't do is it can't speak on your own personal experience. So the more that students have to kind of tap into who they are, the better the assessment will be, and the less this tool will be able to stand in for a student work.
Yeah. Although, technically, I suppose, Asia, you could say, write an essay about the major themes of Charlotte's Web, include a reference to the time I lost my grandfather when I was growing up and the family gathered together for the first time at the funeral, and ChatGPT would know how to synthesize those two things.
It will, but what it won't be able to do, ChatGPT's never had a grandfather, so it won't be able to write with any kind of... It will technically know how to describe mm-hmm. the loss of a grandfather. It won't know how to get across the human emotion of that experience. So I think going forward, we're just going to have to lean in to encouraging students to behave more like people, which I can't see as being a bad thing necessarily.
Gosh, you're good, Asia. I feel jealous of your students. They've obviously got a good teacher. I see some Australian states went ahead and banned ChatGPT. Would you like to see the same thing happen here?
No. I think that's I don't think that's a good idea. I think if you ban it, you're just going to signal to students that it's something really good that they should be looking for. And you know, I don't know if you've had much experience with banning students from websites. They'll find a way. I mean, the way I see it is it's like the calculator. I'm sure that when that came out, you know, math teachers... But I don't think we should get into a moral panic about it, basically. I think that, you know, when I was a teenager, everyone was panicking over text language and how the English language was going to be destroyed because we were all abbreviating everything to fit into text messages. And, I mean, we're okay. You know, that didn't really pan out the way that people thought it would. I think we just need to be getting out in front of it and saying to students, here it is, this is how to use it, so that your learning improves, as opposed to using it to... get out of thinking.
Yeah. Have you had to play around with it?
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something that I have noticed, I've sort of heard a lot of teachers say, is that they know their students' writing, but I don't necessarily think that's going to be a catch-all, because for instance, I took a not-achieved example of writing from a student whose writing I knew very well, and I pasted it in there and I said, please edit this so that it achieves at level one of the New Zealand curriculum for this assessment. And it did. It still sounded like his work, but it had been edited so that it now met the criteria for achieved. So,
yeah. What subject do you teach?
English.
Okay. You'll be right in the thick of it then, eh?
Yeah. I'm sure there's some subjects that this won't really affect them that much. But yeah, it feels like it's quite a big deal for English.
What are the big texts you teach at secondary school these days, out of interest?
What text do I teach? Well, we're shifting to a lot more texts that focus on a New Zealand context. So this year I'm getting ready to teach Pinching Out Dahlias, which is a short story that came out last year. And we also teach Tahi Tibble poems. lots of things that kind of have relevance to students. So maybe colonisation, but in different contexts or in our own.
Interesting. I reckon even ChatGPT would struggle with the Te Tibble poem. That's not disparaging her poetry. It's just you need some life experience, and you need to sort of read between the lines and, you know, and pick up an emotion, even if it's not explicitly stated, to enjoy poetry. It's hard to imagine ChatGPT doing that.
It's not terrible at it. I would say that what it does is kind of provide some beginning thinking. So if you sort of asked it questions about the poem, it could, you know, talk about these are the themes that it's discussing. But yeah, that kind of the spark of humanity in it's not good at picking that up. The other thing is that it's actually really bad at putting errors in writing. So that is another way that we can kind of identify it. Because even when I've asked it to include mistakes, it will include spelling mistakes, but it just can't bring itself to form a sentence badly. So given how rare it is for students to be able to write an extended piece of writing with perfectly formed sentences, that is another good tool.
And for listeners who are just hearing us talk about this but don't have any experience, just out of interest, while I was talking to Asia then, I asked ChatGPT to write a short essay about what makes Te Tibble a good poet. This is just one paragraph. Tibble is a master of language. She has a way with words that is both graceful and punchy. Her poems are full of strong verbs and concrete nouns that make her work stand out. She also has a talent for using repetition and alliteration in her poems, which gives them a musical quality that is both haunting and memorable. That's not bad, Asia.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay.
Interestingly, though, if you asked it to identify the alliteration, I think it would have trouble.
Huh.
I've noticed that it's not very good at picking up language features, possibly because it doesn't have ears.
Maybe GPT-4, which they say is even better and is coming out soon, will solve that problem. Nice to talk to you. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Asia Kennedy, teacher from Western Springs College, who has mixed feelings about ChatGPT, the new AI, which is taking the world by storm. I wouldn't like that very much. It's a cliche that'd be kicked out of a poem.